Dubai Eye
103.8.
Today we are indeed talking tipping. When do you tip and who do you tip? And should you always be tipping at a restaurant? And remember, anyone who gets involved has a chance to win a prize. Zina has the details.
Yes, we're giving away two sets of prizes. All you have to do is join the conversation. It's that easy. Send in a comment. We've got a few coming in already. We'll be choosing the most clever, insightful, meaningful, informative comments, and at the end of the show you could win either of these two prizes. 500 dirhams spent at 24th Street in Dusit Thani, Dubai. That's their newest restaurant. It's an Asian hawker center style in a five-star setting, so you could be having Korean, Chinese, Japanese and Indian food all at once. They've also got seafood night buffet on Thursdays and Friday brunch buffet. Follow them, 24th ST Dubai on Instagram and Facebook. If you don't win that, you could win two registrations to Tough Mudder, Ras Al Khaimah on the 1st of March. Kick off your year. Tough Mudder season on the 1st of March, as I said, at Mina Al Arab in Ras Al Khaimah, the Adventure Emirate. You don't need to arrive with the team, but you will finish with one. It's a very fun and challenging obstacle course. Entry to Mudder Village is completely free for those who want to watch. Tough Mudder. .ae is their website.
So we're not just discussing tipping, there's several other major topics on the agenda today. And to give us the lowdown on all the top news stories, I am joined by the inimitable Serena Kelly. Hello, Serena.
I don't think I've ever had an introduction like that before.
Well, normally people give you a microphone to speak into as
hello.
Well.
It's all good.
Lovely to have you here. Now, what are the big stories of the day?
Well, we had a massive operation, rescue operation at sea. Employees of a water sports company in Dubai, they were honoured recently by Dubai Police for their part in rescuing several tourists. So what happened was, staff from Sky and Sea Adventures came to the aid of the tourists who got into difficulty after the yacht they were on began taking on water. So it was sinking.
Gosh.
The general manager, Pertev Kindilaji Olu, tells us what happened.
Sorry, hang on a sec.
I ran out fish and I saw the yacht's position was not normal. I forwarded my three boats to the yacht. The people were ready with the life jackets. Directly we covered all the passengers. It is risky for us, but in the sea, everybody must help each other.
Gosh, that's a lovely story. Yeah. Really heartwarming that he came to their rescue.
Definitely your warm and fuzzy for the day, that's for sure.
Yes.
And then obviously you've got the Dubai World Tennis, Dubai Duty Free Tennis Championships. That's on at the moment, day two today. So world number one, Japan's Naomi Osaka is spearheading the field. Nine of the world's top 10 are competing. Seven Grand Slam champions are in the field. Now, Caroline Wozniacki, Dominika Chiblokova and Carla Suarez Navarro, they're supposed to be just some of the names on court today. Make sure you stay tuned to Dubai Eye 103.8 for live updates throughout the day from the Dubai Duty Free Tennis Championships.
It's seriously impressive how these championships always manage to get the very top players. It's the same with the golf. They really do get the top superstars here in Dubai. It's amazing.
One of the big stories that kind of developed overnight is to do with vaping and e-cigarettes. So new regulations are going to be coming into place, which will allow the sale of these devices in the UAE for the first time. Now, manufacturers, they're going to be required to display health warnings similar to that on tobacco products. They must ensure that they meet the new standards. So the new guidelines, they're going to be enforced by mid-April of this year. And Abdullah Al-Maini, Director General of the Emirates Standardization and Meteorology Authority, explains.
Currently, the issue is that everybody's smuggling this kind of cigarettes, and you don't know what is inside those chemicals. You don't know what it's contained. By having this standard, we are making sure that the components or ingredients of those kind of products are safe. Of course, cigarettes is not safe in general.
What do you think about this, Serena? I'm fascinated. I mean, it's good that they're being legalised in the sense that no one's going to be smoking horrible stuff.
Yeah, I think for in general, most people, you have seen vaping, e-cigarettes around. It's not illegal to use them, but obviously you haven't been able to buy them here in the past. Now you're going to be able to do that. And I think it's a smart move. It's just giving you that other option, because I think it's, if you can encourage people to move towards that rather than actually smoking, and then who's to say that won't head them into the direction of actually giving up altogether, really?
It does feel like it's a step in the right direction. Although I'm really interested, in London, people used to be allowed to smoke these vapes indoors. And of course, smoking is banned indoors.
Yeah.
But because strictly speaking, it wasn't smoking, even though they create clouds of smoke, these things. Haven't you noticed some of the vapey cigarettes? They create clouds of usually vanilla-flavoured smoke that sort of waft
the
down the street.
The smell is quite pleasant. Sorry.
It is quite pleasant. I think you can get every flavour under
sorts
the sun.
Like tiramisu. Yeah, anyway.
Tiramisu?
Yes.
I didn't know you could get
There's all sorts. There's like, yeah, anyway.
Well, if there's a tiramisu flavoured e-cigarette, I've got a completely different vibe about it. But, I mean, it is interesting to hear that they are, you know, that they've made moves to legalise it so that people aren't buying horrible stuff that they don't know the origins.
Especially I'm from unsure sites. It's just all going to be through the proper channels, and what you're going to be having, you'll know exactly what you're taking in, really.
Well, we'd love to hear your view. Please do get involved. We'll be discussing this legalisation of electronic cigarettes and vapes. Do you think they're a good alternative to cigarettes or just another unhealthy habit? Serena Kelly, thank you very much for joining us.
Anytime.
We're going to have to release you back into the wild, unfortunately. Into the newsroom. Into the newsroom. Thank you very much indeed. And we're going to continue with our topic for today, which is tipping. When do you tip and who do you tip? That is the big question. Ultimately, it's a seriously thorny issue, particularly in Dubai, and there doesn't seem to be a general rule, which leaves many of us wondering what to do. Here is Jay Sky from the ARN News Centre.
To tip or not to tip? Nobody seems to know the answer. Many residents are left confused when they're faced with a check after a meal in a restaurant. Do I leave a tip on top of the service charge, municipality fee and VAT? It really depends on where you're from. In Europe, tipping isn't as common as it is in the US, where it's ingrained in the culture and people will tip as much as 20% of the total bill. In Asia, generally tipping exists not only in restaurants. Taxi drivers, bellboys and tour guides usually expect a little extra on top of the agreed fees. So here in the UAE, what's the rule? According to VisitDubai.com, Dubai's official site for tourists, the short answer is there are no rules when it comes to tipping in the city. How much you tip varies from profession to profession and is also largely down to personal preference. It's customary to tip in most cases, but it certainly isn't compulsory. Tell us, do you usually leave a tip in a restaurant or for other services? And if you do, how much do you usually give?
That's the question we've been asking. And as you heard there, because we're such a diverse community, people just apply what they've been doing in their home countries. So, for example, I mean, Z's from the Philippines. Yeah. I'm from the UK. What's the situation in the Philippines? How do you tip there?
We normally tip everywhere. People expect tips everywhere. When you're at the car wash, at the petrol station, in restaurants, at the valet, because wages are generally low in the Philippines, you expect a little extra coming from customers. And even here, when you come across, for example, I'm Filipino and I come across a Filipino waiter or pump attendant, I sort of feel obliged to do it because that's what I would have done in the Philippines. What about in the UK? How do you do things?
So the UK, we have the minimum wage, which is, although not high for people who are living in the city, it's a lot higher than, for example, people get paid here. And so there's a sort of there's a less of an urgency to tipping, although there is still an expectation. And quite often, I mean, I see the vast majority of the restaurants in the UK just add it. And sometimes they're not just adding 10%, they're adding 12 or even 15.
Oh,
so
wow.
It is becoming, yeah, it's crazy. It's becoming more like the US. But you wouldn't tip, like you might add a little bit, you know, you would round up for a taxi, but you wouldn't sort of actively tip a taxi. And sometimes I see like American people, when they walk into the really smart sort of Claridges, the really smart hotels in the UK, in London, some of them tip the doorman for just opening the door.
Oh, wow.
And I mean, no one in the UK would ever do that. But you sort of feel under pressure that, you know, if the Americans do it, then when I go to the US, am I expected to tip a doorman? And then am I expected to tip the guy who brings me up my bags up to the hotel? And, you know, how about the guy who checks me in? Like, when does it stop? How much small change are you having to give out?
Yeah, when I went to the US, I got a lot of ugly looks from people who expected tips from me. But, you know, who do you tip there? It's so, you know, I just tip in restaurants generally and petrol stations. But yeah, people everywhere seem to be expecting tips in the US because it's so ingrained in their culture.
Yeah.
Unlike in Europe or other parts of the West.
In the US, I definitely think that there is a link between quality of service provided and the tipping. Whereas I think in the UK, that link hasn't really been made. And out here, I'm not sure it's been made in the restaurants here either. I think there's an automatic 10% tip here. And everyone just presumes that that's what's going to go through. And I don't even know whether it goes to the waiting staff. If anyone's listening and they know whether the waiting staff actually get the tip that automatically goes on the bill, I'd love to hear it. But here's what other people have been telling us all about tipping.
One of the first jobs I ever had back in 99 was as a waiter. Basically, I've been on the other end. And waiters, sadly, in Dubai are not paid as much as we would like. I believe in tipping, and I would like to tip generously. And what's interesting for me is what I notice what people do is the bigger the restaurant, the more the tip, which does my head in. Those waiters make a lot more money than the guy in your crotchety dar bar or the guy who's serving you in McDonald's.
I usually tip in restaurants, sometimes at saloons, that is after getting a haircut. There are times when in restaurants I've faced really bad service, and on certain occasions I don't tip. So it depends on, you know, how the service was, how the food was. I mean, even if the food was bad and if the service was good, I would still tip.
Do you know, I've never done that. I've never taken a tip away, even if the service was absolutely dreadful. There's loads and loads of messages coming in. Edwin says, I always tip. My career is in food service. As a waiter, I used to look up to the tip as salary was not much. Most servers wait on tips. In Dubai, you should tip, noting the salaries paid. Even in bad service, I still tip a minimum of 10 dirhams. And we are joined on the phone by now by somebody who really does know a great deal about tipping in restaurants. And it does seem to be that the biggest bone of contention is just how much we should tip. To answer those questions and more, I'm joined on the line now by Jagbir Jasrotia. He is the F&B manager for the Dusit Thani. Hello, good morning, Jagbir. How are you?
Good morning. Very good. How are you?
Very well indeed. Fantastic to speak to you. Now tell me, how long have you worked in the restaurant industry?
I've been working in the hotel industry with restaurants and food and beverages from last 15 years. In three different countries. I started in India, Australia, and now Dubai.
Gosh, so you've had experience of a lot of different countries. Did you start from the bottom? Have you ever worked as a waiter?
Yes, I started as a waiter.
Wow. So you are uniquely placed to tell us, well, as most waiters are, or previous waiters are, what does it actually mean to waiting staff? What does it mean to the managers? What do these tips mean to those people?
So, tips, depending on what level you are, as you ask for the waiters, definitely means a lot. I was making a lot of tips, when I started as a waiter, and it's that extra motivation, everyone likes money, so a bit of extra cash, nobody minds that. I mean, and it does push the waiters, to give that extra bit. Although, that's not probably the only reason. I mean, hotels, provide service, the service they provide. But, it does make a difference to the waiters.
The reality is that it's pretty long hours, isn't it?
Yes, yes.
And so maybe a little bit extra change in your pocket manages you to keep, helps you keep that smile on your face at 11:30 for that couple who are refusing to leave.
It does, though. Although, I mean, the expectation is to, provide flawless hospitality without, such expectations. But, we're all humans, this is the reality. So if you talk about the reality, this definitely happens. Tips is that extra, gives that extra motivation to the wait staff for sure.
And so, I mean, at the Dusit Thani, how does the tipping work? When I go there and I pay for a meal and the receipt comes, what will I see on the receipt? Will I see a service charge? How does the billing work?
Now, there is a mandatory, service charge, service tax, actually, in all the hotels in Dubai. So in at the Dusit Thani, we believe in gracious hospitality. Again, we have 7 different food and beverage outlets, depending on the style. And, there is a fine dining restaurant as well. There are bars. There are casual dining restaurants as well. So tipping structure, people tip based on which outlet they are dining in. So tip structure is so different, in all outlets. It's all very different. Tips really depends on what nationality the guests are from as well. I mean, in certain cultures, tipping, is very common. In certain cultures, tipping is not common at all. So, tips vary in restaurant to restaurant, you know, and the style of restaurant people are dining in.
And so if someone, for example, leaves a tip and they add it to their credit card bill versus leaving cash, does it make a difference as to whether or not the member of the waiting staff gets it?
You know, most hotels, tips get divided. And it doesn't make a difference if it's cash or if it's credit card. It all goes to the team at the end of the day. So no, it actually doesn't.
So it does go, because there's a lot of urban myths and rumours that tips that you put down on your, particularly on your credit card, that they don't go to the staff, that they just get absorbed by the restaurant.
No, not at all. Well, certainly not at Dusit Thani, Dubai. Any tip left by the guest, by cash or by card, irrespective, goes back to the staff, goes back to the team.
That's so interesting. And so I suppose I've got to ask you, not just as a representative from the Dusit Thani, but also someone who lives in Dubai, what do you tip when you're out at restaurants?
Yeah, again, it really depends on the kind of restaurant I'm at, the kind of service I'm receiving. You know, I'm from hotels, I'm from food and beverage. I always tip well if I receive a good service, if I receive genuine service, you know. And I guess especially being in this industry, I mean, you know, I understand, this better than probably people who are not part of this. So I always tip 10% or above, depending on the service, depending on the restaurant I'm in.
How about other sectors? You know, do you tip your barber or the petrol attendants?
To be honest, my taxi guy, I do take taxis on a daily basis. That's how I commute. I do tip them. Not big tipper in taxis, you know, but, you know, whatever the chains left, you know, 5-6 dirhams, you know, each way. I mean, I do that on a daily basis, actually, to be honest. Yeah.
Amazing. Thank you so much for your time. You are Jagbir Jasrotia. You're the F&B manager for the Dusit Thani, and we really appreciate your time. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Goodbye. We are talking tipping. When do you tip and who do you tip? And remember, we're also discussing the legalization of vaping. Do you think vapes are a good alternative to cigarettes, or are they just another unhealthy habit? Do you worry that your children might want to smoke them? Khalil in the marina says, don't add your tip on your CC when paying with your credit card. The way to never get to this tip. Now, that's not what the guys from the Dusit Thani say. They say that they do get that tip. Rita in Umsakim says, as a hairdresser, I'd say that it's not expected, but it's always appreciated. How much is totally up to you?
And it's Peggy. I love the show. Thanks, Peggy. I tip and no service charge is on the bill, and I think electronic cigarettes are not so good, but better than normal. We've also got another text, no name on this one. Thank you. I don't mind tipping for good service, but I can't handle that I have to tip irrespective.
And another one here, anonymous as well, saying tips depend on the service. I wouldn't just tip willy-nilly. And we're joined now by Sadia on the line. Sadia, when do you tip, or when don't you tip?
Hi, morning, Georgia, first of all, and thanks for bringing up this topic.
Good morning.
I'm a regular outside eater, so I frequently tip outside wherever I go, whether it's a small-time restaurant or a big one at a five-star hotel or whatever. But obviously, it's based on the service that I receive. If it's a really, really bad service, then obviously it breaks my heart, it hurts my tummy, and I just don't pay for it at all.
Yeah.
But one of my concerns after listening to you guys was, I'm a regular order on the Zomato app, and I do understand that Zomato's recently introduced their drivers delivering the food stuff to your place from the restaurants in itself, and they always have a delivery charge attached to it. Most of the orders. But recently, I noticed on their app they keep saying, if you want to tip your driver, would you like to add in some more additional amount? I mean, it just got me a bit lost, because I used to think that that particular delivery charge usually goes onto the driver.
Where is this tip coming in from? That is such an interesting point. Now, of course, I can't answer for Zomato. We will get in touch with them and ask. But I use, I use Deliveroo for quite a lot of my sort of home delivery services. And there's definitely a delivery charge on that, which is usually 7 dirhams. And then they do offer the option to give a tip as well. So I figured that the 7 dirhams charge was what Deliveroo were getting for the pleasure of me having the food delivered, and that they pay their staff a salary, but maybe they don't. We need to find out, don't we?
Exactly. Yeah, that's what. Because, I mean, at the back of my head, it's like, okay, the guy is taking all the pain of getting in the traffic and stuff and getting that delivery charge. So I don't mind sometimes giving out that delivery charge as well. Even if there's a restaurant which is just like a few meters away or something, and I can just walk down to it. But I don't mind paying that extra delivery charge. But then what's with that additional tip? If that delivery charge does not go to that particular poor driver.
Yes, and I feel quite passionately about this. My husband, I'm going to name and shame him here. He doesn't, when we order something takeout, he doesn't add the tip. Because, and his claim is that he, you know, they don't get it, so it just goes to Deliveroo. But I feel really strongly that these guys are out there in the rain, or, well, you know, just this week, and then in the sun. Yeah. And I feel that they really, you know, should get that extra money because they're not having much fun on their day-to-day
exactly.
job.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, well, Sadia, thank you so much for your point. Really lovely to have you on the radio. Thank you very much. So, should you always tip at a restaurant? What about the petrol pump fillers and taxis? And do you add a tip to your Uber or Deliveroo driver? Come on, come clean. And there seems to be a bit of a difference depending on what country you're from. I think maybe British people like me don't tip quite as generously as the Americans. As the famous British comedian and talk show host James Corden discovered when he moved to the US. Have a listen to this.
I was just wondering if you've ever eaten at Lucy's Bistro on 3rd Street.
Well, that's where I went last night. How did you know that? How did you know? Oh, the paparazzi didn't get me, did they?
Yeah, it wasn't the paparazzi, James. I was actually your waiter there.
I thought you looked familiar. Thank you for coming.
Just wondering, how was your service? You didn't leave much of a tip.
Well, that isn't true. I remember leaving. I left a perfectly good tip. I left $10.
Yeah, it was a $340 meal.
I know why. I didn't have cash on me because I gave the valet $20 before I, you know, when I gave him my keys. Has anyone got any questions about me or the show or... Yes, the gentleman here. Yes, yes, you, sir. Yep.
Yeah, James, I'm the valet from last night.
Poor James Corden getting totally stung, clearly, by his production stuff. But it does sound that there is a bit of a difference between the US and the UK. And I'm joined now by Grant Gomez. He is a presenter from the radio station Tag 91.1. So, Grant, where did you grow up?
I grew up in the US, actually.
Ah, I see. And so, therefore, you're totally familiar with the tipping style there. What is the... For those of us who haven't been to the US, how does it work?
Tipping, at least in California... basically, the standard is 15 to 20%, regardless of the quality of service. Of course, you're free to tip more or less if you don't feel the service is adequate, or if you feel that the waiter or the server went above and beyond. However, if you do pay less, there is that stigma, as we heard James Corden say, or as in that clip that we heard. The onus kind of was on James Corden to supplement the income of the waiter. But in all honesty, I think I'm not a big fan of the way we tip in the US.
Okay. But your wife is not from the US.
No, she's not.
And so when you guys go out for a meal and you sort of leave a tip, what works?
Well, a funny story. So the first time I went here to Dubai, we went on a date. It was a nice fancy steak restaurant, and the bill wasn't terribly high, but when it was time to write down the tip, I wrote down 60 dirhams.
Okay.
And the
generous
server was there to see me write the 60 dirhams down. When my wife saw the amount, she was kind of shocked. It's like, wait, we don't do that here. That's way too high. And you know, so obviously I felt a little bad because, you know, the guy was watching me erase the amount, the 60 dirhams.
No way, you did it.
Or 15. So. So, I mean, because I've gotten used to being here, I've decreased the amount of tip.
Yeah, because it's basically no one here does 20%, let's be honest.
Yeah, yeah.
And so your wife was like, this is absolutely outrageous. And where did your wife grow up?
In the Philippines.
In the Philippines. So she's used to doing sort of the tipping, as Zina was saying earlier, she's used to doing the small tips for everybody who crosses your path kind of thing.
Yes, yes.
But certainly not a massive amount. And so, what do you do now? So as far as, are you like Zina? When you, like, do you tip the petrol pump guy? Do you tip everybody who delivers food to you? And sort of, you know, if you get some milk delivered, do you tip them? Have you got into that way of thinking now?
Yeah, actually, I have. Because the thing is, I mean, in the U.S., we don't have delivery, like, not nearly in the same capacity as we do here.
I mean,
you can do everything at home.
Literally, I don't think anyone has as much of a delivery service as Dubai. Honestly, you can get everything delivered here.
Yeah, and at least in California, all of the petrol stations, they're all self-service, so we didn't have to bother with tipping. But here, I try to give at least 5 to 10 dirhams to everybody who delivers, because let's face it, here, that's kind of, they kind of depend on that extra income.
Yeah.
Much more so than, okay, let's say if a gas station worker or your typical service industry worker, all of their accommodation, their food, their allowance, it's all paid for. So if they should so choose to live an ascetic lifestyle and send every dirham back home as remittances, they'd be perfectly fine. So you can see that every time you give them a little something extra, they truly appreciate what you give them.
I'd actually go as far as to say that if you're a Westerner or you're from the US or you've got a decent income, I think in this country it's almost wrong not to give the guy who earns nothing and has nothing and who's filling up your petrol pump, especially when it's 45 degrees outside.
I totally agree.
I think it's absolutely outrageous that you don't give them a little bit extra. And I know there are signs in petrol stations saying that you shouldn't do it or they don't accept tips. I mean, that's just nonsense. Nobody's going to like give you the 5 dirhams or 10 dirhams back and say, no, I'm not allowed to accept it. And I think it's I think it's wrong. I mean, I certainly, from my income and my background, I think it's the least I can do is to just add that little bit of money. Anyway, Grant Gomez, a presenter from the station Tag, thank you so much for joining us. I really appreciate it. Here's what a few of you guys have been saying.
Dubai, they add a service charge in the restaurants and the hotels, so that's quite easy, and that's like being in London or anywhere else. I do tend to tip if I have spare dirhams. I do tend to tip people helping luggage into my car, so I do try and do something extra, yes.
Here, I know in restaurants it's a norm, but some places you feel a bit awkward. You don't want to appear, I don't know, you don't want to hurt someone else's sentiments by, you know, even offering a tip. So it's based on how you feel, the general vibe. If you think it's okay if someone, I don't want to offend anyone. So yeah, I take it. I try to gauge if it's okay and then do it.
Loads of texts coming in. Zina, there's one there that I... that
Georgia,
I'm a bit...
someone's very mad at you. And I have to say, they've got a point. Well done, Georgia. Yet another classic judgmental comment from you. Why don't you offer your opinion without saying that everyone else who disagrees with you is wrong? You kind of implied that.
Well, this came in just after I said that everyone should tip the petrol pump guys. And I'm standing by that. Maybe this person's just... It is an anonymous message. Maybe they're just feeling guilty that they don't do it. You should tip petrol pump guys. They're standing out there in miserable heat most of the time doing a really horrible job. And if you can own a car and drive a car and afford petrol, you can afford the 5 dirhams because they're earning nothing.
There you go, our dear listener. If that's the one you were referring to, please text us again and let us know your thoughts. Other text messages coming in.
Nonsense, this message says. You get paid for a good job. Would you expect us all to chip in and send a tip if the radio show was particularly good? No. Well, yes, if I was to answer that. Reward is that we tune in or order again. Job security and a fair salary from our employer is all that should be expected. Although, speaking from the opinion of a radio presenter, I would accept tips if people wanted to send them in.
Oh, wow. That's not the done thing. No, I don't think any radio presenter has received a tip, so you could be the first one.
Fred here says tipping is still not a norm. Thank you for that message, Fred.
Make sure to tip in cash so the person gets it and not the business. Thanks, Alex. We had someone from Dusitani commenting on that earlier.
And here a message from Amy from Umm Sakeem says, as a student, I was a waitress and I once got an £80 tip.
Whoa.
Wow.
How much is that?
80 times 5. 8 times
400.
5. 400. Thank you. 400 dirhams. Which, as a student, literally saved me. I now always tip. Absolutely extraordinary. Now, speaking of that massive tip, Johnny, I promised you that I was going to tell you all about these amazing famous people and how much they tip. And essentially, there's a website called stainedapron.com, which you can all go to, where serving staff essentially dish the dirt on famous people and whether or not they're good or bad tippers. The website is pretty explicit. It says that 10% is not an adequate tip. And not at breakfast, not at lunch, never. 15 to 20% is the acceptable norm. Now, I have promised you before that I was going to tell you the details, but I'm just going to have to wait for another break, I'm afraid. But coming up, I'll tell you Johnny Depp, Chrissy Teigen, Amy Schumer, Taylor Swift and the rapper that famously left a $50,000 tip. Our topic for today is tipping. When do you tip? Who do you tip? Is it morally irresponsible not to tip the guys at the petrol pumps? I'm feeling pretty strongly about this, and as I understand it from Zina, I am not the only person. Sharon joins me on the line this morning. Hello, good morning, Sharon.
Hello, good morning, Georgie. How are you?
I'm very well indeed, and I have to admit, been forewarned by Zina that you don't agree with me about tipping.
Let me rephrase that. I want to just bring to the attention the history of tipping. And I think that's a big misunderstanding. The tipping started in America, where the restaurant owners decided not to pay the waiter staff minimum wage. The idea was that we will not pay you, which is a legal minimum wage, because you will earn your money from tipping. So the harder you work, the more money you make.
Okay.
What I don't understand, now this has been translated into Dubai. The people that work here are on a contractual basis. They have agreed to work for a particular salary. Their housing is paid for. Their transportation is paid for. I don't know if their food is paid for while they're working, but I would assume that would be the case, but I don't wish to assume that. So the tipping, in my opinion, to the restaurant and F&B staff is a no, as far as I'm concerned. Nobody tips me when I do my job. I have a contract with a company that said, this is how much you're going to do, your customer service, and this is your job. And I have agreed to that. I have signed up to that. Now, nobody in any country would agree to work in a job outside of their home country if the money was not better than what they were planning to make in their own country. You know, if I was making more money in the States, I certainly wouldn't come and work in Dubai for less money. So clearly the people that have signed the contract to come work here are making good money to their standards. So tipping at the restaurant, to me, is wrong because they are supposed to provide the service regardless. And in my opinion, people who go to a restaurant and left 10, 20%, that's wrong because it creates a bad image for the fact that the waiter staff will think that it's expected.
Would you
don't give them a tip, they will not. Now, having said that, I mean, I don't mean to come in. As far as the petrol station, that's a totally different thing. I do tip the petrol guys, especially during the summer. Because in the States, I have to get off my ass, go outside. Oh, sorry, I didn't mean to say that word. Get off my car, go outside, and regardless of rain, shine, snow, heat, and put gas in my car. So for them that are in that heat, burning up when it's 50 degrees, certainly I will tip them gladly because they're doing a service provided that I don't wish to do. But in a restaurant situation, in a service F&B, I do not believe that's the case. And I think it's wrong for people to tip 20, 30%, 20, 10% because these people are on a contract. Nobody tips you for doing your job. Nobody tips me for doing my job because I've agreed that I will work for this job for this many years for this amount of money.
Amazing. Sharon, thank you so much for those points. Really, really interesting. And then we've got so many texts coming in. Zina, I'm going to lean on you to read those out for me.
Sure. Thank you very much, Sharon. Great points there. Unfortunately, some companies and across many industries pay a minimum wage and encourage their employees to rely on tips to make ends meet. As a consumer, it's not my responsibility to provide employees wage. And by tipping those employees, we're only encouraging companies to continue the trend. As a consumer, my responsibility is to reward an employee who goes above and beyond his call of duty. Thank you for that, Mariana.
Very interesting. Gordon sends in, why should an owner of a restart transfer the risk to the employee, pay a fair salary, and make the person working easier to get loans or a mortgage? The owner is the entrepreneur and not the employer.
I think he meant restaurant instead of restart.
Ah, the restaurant owner. Yeah. But well, I suppose that's a fair point, Gordon. You're suggesting that basically the restaurant owner takes responsibility for its members of staff. And so therefore, the tips would be an extra bonus.
Yeah, really good point. On tipping, my rule of thumb is that the tip, the home delivery, I tip the home delivery guy 99% of the time. As for other services, unless it's exceptional, I will tip up to 20%. Still very generous.
Someone here says, a tip if you can afford it. But I would argue that if you're receiving a service, you can afford it. Like if you're in a restaurant, you can afford to tip.
And just a little extra goes a long way.
I agree. And Gordon has sent in another message here saying, what about the guy or woman at the gas station who is not client facing? This refers back to my insistence that you should be playing the guys who pump the gas, that every time a guy pumps the gas, you should give him 5 dirhams. Gordon does raise a good point. You know, the guy or the woman at the gas station inside doesn't get my 5 dirhams.
We don't see them, so...
But then they don't have to stand outside in the heat and, like, wipe my windscreen for me, all the flies, and have to look at my children making faces at them.
And finally, we've got Aris Rodriguez. Thank you, Aris. Similar to Sharon's point, tipping in restaurants originated from the days 150 years ago or so when waiters would queue up for work that paid no wages on the expectation of a living wage directly from the customers who would only pay the restaurant for the food. That said... Oh, Aris tips, because he suspects that like most other people, I prefer to depart leaving behind no disappointment or resentment or low opinion of me as a customer.
I'm joined on the line now by Alessio Ruffoni. He is the GM of Mamazonia. It's one of those new restaurants. It's an Amazon-inspired place. There's a restaurant, a lounge terrace, and it's in Pier 7 in Dubai Marina. Hi, Alessio. Thank you for joining us.
Hello, Georgia. How are you?
Very well, indeed. Oh, it's such a pleasure to have you on the line. Thank you very much indeed. Now, come on, let's start right at the beginning. How long have you worked in the restaurant industry?
Long time, 24 years, even more.
Well, and
so
you
basically
know,
it was since I started when I was studying back at school. So I started to work to take some extra money.
So you started... So you started as a waiter. So at 16, you started as a waiter, just like so many of us do in our sort of holiday jobs. Yeah. But instead of then going into something else, you actually stayed in F&B.
Yeah, I actually like it. I actually wanted to be a chef, but actually at this time, like, I like to more in contact with the people. So that's why I love to cook. However, I prefer to be in front of the house, away from the hot of the kitchen.
So you've basically had experience of tipping right from the very, you know, lowest of the low, age 16, all the way up to managing the restaurant. So how does it work? You know, what did tips mean to you when you were 16?
Don't forget I'm Italian. So for me, tips, like I heard other people, is different. So when I'm happy, somebody went over the border to give me something a little bit extra. So since I was a waiter, like even when I call as a customer, something like if I'm very happy or like for example, let's say on a small touch that I come back to a place, my waiter or the butler remember my name to the fact that certain way they even remember my drinks, a little bit extra of the usual service.
And do you think that the attitude is different now here in Dubai?
I think sometimes, you know, people, you know, they think they're obligated to give tips, which I don't feel it. For me, the customer should be happy to give me tips. It's not mandatory. So...
That's so interesting. And so how does it work? That's really interesting to hear from somebody who's actually worked in the service industry that you feel that it should be performance-based rather than presumptive.
We do, for example, in our restaurant, we have a service charge.
Yeah.
And also customers give us tips. They also ask for the tips if they want to leave. They are the one asking. However, I mean, for me, why should I have it if we are paid as well? So if my waiter or myself, you know, we go over the border and we're happy to receive it. However, it's not mandatory. I don't feel that you should give it if, for example, like I'm the one that's supposed to bring you the coffee. So I need my say in my side, I already paid to do this job. So why should I have something extra? That's the way I see it.
And so when I get a bill in a restaurant nowadays, I have to admit, I'm a bit bamboozled by all the lines at the bottom of, you know, tax and VAT and all these various charges. What charge, when you get a bill, what actually are those fees?
So you have the service charge, you have the tax now, and the VAT.
Yeah.
So basically on top of the bill, you have 10% plus 5% plus 7%.
Okay, and where does the service charge go? Is that something from the restaurant or is that something from the government?
part of the government, part of the VAT, and part of the to the staff or the service charge.
Oh, okay.
So it's all divided. So the VAT, you pay the VAT, obviously.
Yeah.
The tax for the government, which you pay, and the other one, the service charge, go back to the staff.
We've had a message here from Amelia. Thank you very much for that on 4001, saying I completely agree with your guest. So there you go, Alessio. You're getting loads. You're getting texts in agreeing with you. You're getting fans. It's more than I tell you something. It's more than I get. Everyone disagrees with me.
I think it is fair. I repeat, I come from Italy, so actually Italians are not, they say, the country which is tips more. We all know as well. But we also, I love my job, we all do it. And it's like when you go to a barber or, you, for example, IT, for example, but it's like sometimes you feel obligated if you go to a restaurant to tip, which I think is like, I don't know if it's fair in a way also towards the customer especially.
So just to make it completely clear, when I go to a restaurant and I get the bill and it says that there's 10% service charge on it, how much is the waiter actually going to get of that? Or should I be, you know, I'd like to tip them, you know, what will they get?
If you tip them on the top of the service charge, you mean?
They get it. Yeah, no, well,
basically, what if you tip on top of the, let's say the bill is 10, you give, let's say, and you give 5 dirhams, these 5 dirhams, they will put them on the box, and then at the end of the 2 weeks, will be divided between the staff.
Amazing. Fantastic. Thank you so much, Alessio Ruffoni.
Thank you so much for the call.
This is Dubai Eye 103.8.